A couple of times Rick's been preaching, he's been telling us how many points he has. Renee, if you would have set your ice cream out before you left, it would have still been frozen by the time you get home, okay? We're going to be short tonight. I probably could, but that's not my style. I grew up in a church where the preacher would preach for an hour, like easy. April can testify. He was one of those guys. I kind of just grew up thinking that's the way it was. When a Baptist preacher says, "I'm coming in for a landing," or "I'm looking for the runway" or something, he always used plane analogies. You knew you had 20 minutes left. Like, he was not close to being done. He was about halfway, you know, on a good day. Today I'm going to talk about all sunshine and roses. We're going to start reading in chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings 17, yep. Verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn the eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have made a commandment that, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." How many of you know who the VeggieTales are? A couple of the kids raise their hands. None of the adults want to admit it. I grew up watching VeggieTales. That's like, you know, it came out in 1993. And since that first film, Larry has been doing Silly Songs with Larry about halfway through. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Silly Songs with Larry. Some of his hits are Yodeling Veterinarian of the Alps, I Love My Lips, Belly Button, Biscuit of Zazamaranda Bow, Pizza Angel, Where Have All the Staplers Gone, and the 8 Polish Foods of Christmas, just a few of them. If you actually look them up, there's like 70 of them or something like that. But my favorite was always the blues, or Larry Sings the Blues. And in this short video, Larry starts off singing the blues. He's got like this little blues riff going with Blind Lemon Lincoln. He's playing the guitar and harmonica for him. And his song goes, "All sunshine and roses, no rain came my way. I said, all sunshine and roses, no rain came my way. My dad bought me ice cream. Oh, happy, happy, happy day." And the second verse says, "I ate up that ice cream, got some on my face. I said I ate up that ice cream, got some on my face. Got some on the table. Oh, happy, sticky, happy, sticky, happy, sticky day." And then Blind Lemon Lincoln interrupts him and says, "What are you doing?" And Larry tries to explain to him that he's singing the blues. Blind Lemon tries to explain to him that to sing the blues, you have to be sad. And he's very happy because he got ice cream and there's no sunshine. There's no rain, just sunshine, right? So he tries to get him in the mood to sing the blues. He gives him an ice cream bar and promptly takes it back before Larry can take a bite out of it. And Blind Lemon eats it in one bite. Try to get him in the mood of being sad. You had ice cream, now you don't. And so the first two bars of his next verse are sad. He's kind of slowing it down. He's very somber. And then he realizes he can have a cookie. So why does he need the ice cream? He's got a cookie. And so Blind Lemon takes this cookie from him, smashes it with his guitar. Like, "You don't need any cookie. I just took your ice cream." And again, Larry gets pretty sad again. And then he realizes he can have a strudel. And Blind Lemon just says, "You're too happy to sing the blues. This isn't cut out for you. This isn't your thing. You need to try something else." We all like those warm, sunshiny days, right? All sunshine and roses, no rain came my way. If you were to ask April where she'd live anywhere in the world, she'd probably pick Texas or Oklahoma. Even though she grew up in Michigan, you'd think she's kind of acclimated to the cold, lives in Montana for 3 years. She hates it. She thinks she's paid her dues. She's done her time. Send me to the sunshine, all right? She doesn't care about those poisonous snakes, the tornadoes, the flash flooding they get, which apparently we get too now. Just wants that warm, sunshiny day. But what happens when it's all sunshine and roses, what happens in our text is the brook dried up because there was no rain. even though God provided that brook for Elijah, it still dried up. It's all part of his plan, but we don't like to go through those trials and hard times. And tonight, I'm not really going to look, get ahead of myself. A desert is any place that does not get rain or precipitation, to be more precise. It's usually considered 10 inches or less in a year is considered a desert. Obviously, we think of the Sahara Desert or Arizona or, you know, Saudi Arabia. But things like the Arctic and Antarctica can be considered deserts as well if they don't get enough precipitation a year. So it's not just all hot. Deserts can look different ways. But we're not really going to look as much today about the sunshine and roses or the mountaintops. Say I want to talk about the trials, the valleys or the climb to the mountaintop. God never told us that Christian life is going to be easy. Quite the opposite, actually. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Man, I had a lot of typos. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We all know what a yoke is, right? A yoke was something that a farmer used to get his animals to do the work for him. He would put it on the back of an oxen or a donkey or a horse and make them do the work for him instead of him doing it. God says, "Take my yoke upon you." He's telling us in this passage that it's going to be work. God doesn't say, "You know what, come over to the cross, come over to the light side, and we'll give you a cookie and we're going to kind of sit down and watch sports on Sunday afternoon." God says, "Take my yoke upon you." He's inviting you to work with him. Work is not easy if you're doing it right. Air Force says smarter, not harder, but still, to get to that smarter, you got to go through the hard times of learning what not to do and what to do and how to get it done efficiently. It can even seem monotonous and just kind of dragging, no pun intended for pulling a plow, dragging. But sometimes we don't really want to do it. We don't want to go through those trials and temptations and the heartaches. But they're part of our life. Even if we're not a Christian, we're going to have them. But God's telling us to come yoke up with him. He wants to help us. See, if you have a team of mules or a team of oxen, one isn't doing all the work while the one is guiding. It's not like an aircraft where the pilot's flying the plane and the navigator's telling them where to go. Oxen don't work like that. They're pulling side by side. They're both pulling the load. They're both pulling their weight. God's not saying, "Hey, Brother Scott, I want you to go out there all by yourself and go witness to those bikers." Now, you might do it. That might be your personality. It's not mine. I'm not a very outgoing person. But God's going to be with us. It doesn't matter what he tells us to do, what he lays on our heart. It's from him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he was beaten with rods and cat of nine tails. He was shipwrecked, stoned, and imprisoned. He was oftentimes in perils of robberies and all sorts of unimaginable things. But you know what? He endured. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." I was talking about when he was asking the Lord to remove that thorn from his side. But he's not asking us to do this stuff alone. He's not telling us it's going to be easy. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He didn't ask us to do this by ourselves. He said, "He is my helper." He doesn't expect us to face these trials alone. Luke 12, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." He cares for us. The Bible says over and over again that he does. It's in all throughout Psalms. Think about Job. The book of Job is powerful about how God allows us to go through stuff. This is going to be my hard part right here. In 2011, April and I were expecting our first child. And at the same time, we were PCSing in England. I've never told this story here, so this will be new. We decided to wait for her first OB appointment until we got there because I was brand new A1C. We didn't know if that was going to hold up our medical clearance to go overseas or not, so we decided just to wait. And about 2 weeks later, after we got there, we in process, had everything set up. She goes into appointment, and long story short, she miscarried 2 weeks previously, about the same time that we moved. God put us 6,000 miles away from our closest family as the bird flies to, and we had no church family, no church friends, no neighbors that we knew of. It was expensive. Brent, A1C, I couldn't afford to have a plane ticket bought to go send her home, even just her. And I remember calling both my spiritual mentors, and they couldn't help me. Either one of them had been through that. Pastor Rob Perotti and Dave Beckner. I called them. I made a long overseas phone call to them. Talked to them each for about 10 minutes. And they didn't know what to tell me. They both just told me, you rely on God. That's hard. It's hard sometimes. As men, we like to fix things. You can't fix that. A lot of you might know some of my story. I grew up in church, and after I graduated high school, I turned on God. He put me through a trial, and I failed miserably. And having been there before, having turned on God and gotten mad at Him, it would have been easy for me to shake my fist at God and said, why did you do this? Why did you take my child? But having talked to my pastors, I didn't know what to do. I just prayed. It would have been easy for us to drop out of church there. Nobody knew us. We didn't have any friends. We had visited church a couple times. It would have been easy for us to just kind of ghost out of Christianity and back out. But we didn't. God laid a verse on my heart, Job 1:21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you realize these trials, they're to build us, to make us stronger, draw us closer to Him. It makes it worth it. It hurts. You can tell it still hurts. We've got 3 kids now, 3 great kids. I love them all. This was 7 years ago. He knows what He's doing. God is perfect. It was His plan to get us away from our family, to get us out of our comfort zone, to get us away from what we know, and put us in a place that we didn't know anything or anybody, so that we had to turn to Him. He knew what He was doing. He knew that He gave us just enough time for us to know that she was pregnant without going to the doctor. He gave us just enough time to get over and get settled into our house to say, all right, now it's time. Trials come in all different shapes and forms. Health issues are big ones. I think of the Wynn family. I couldn't imagine what they go through on a daily basis. I thank God that's not my burden. But I know that's hers. She may not like it, but that's what God has planned for her. I think she does a great job at it. But we have to be careful as humans. We like to judge and nitpick and stuff. And Monday, what's that called? Monday morning quarterback, where we say hindsight's 20/20. Oh, I think you should have done it this way. You should have done this. You should have tried that. That's not our job. Our job is to lift each other up, to encourage each other. Houses always need to be fixed. We bought our house last year. This last storm, the basement was leaking. Houses always need to be fixed. It can seem like a burden to take care of them, and oftentimes it is. But it's ordained by God that that happened. Cars need to be fixed. I was coming back from visitation, and my alternator died on my car. Had to fix that. Just unexpected expenses. I told you I was going to be quick. I'm going to end with this here. It's a poem from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall, and the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the day is dark and dreary. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life, some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. We all go through trials. We know it's part of life. But as Longfellow said, behind the clouds, the sun is still shining. Our valleys always have an end. Sometimes we don't see the end until it's right in front of us. But be still, sad heart, and cease repining, because it's going to end. We don't have to be fearful or shy away from the valleys. We ought to embrace them, because through them, if we make it through it, it makes us stronger. If we don't get those dark and rainy days, our faith doesn't grow. We dry up and become a desert. What grows in deserts is cactuses, something nobody wants to touch. We don't want our lives to be a desert. It's all dried up and good for nothing. If we don't get that rain, we can't grow. Nothing will grow without the water. If we don't go through the rain, we can't have sunshine and roses. We need to embrace the trials. It sounds crazy to say embrace the trials. But if we don't go through them, we can't and we won't grow our faith. We won't get closer to God. Bow our heads and close our eyes, please.